Good morning.
Good morning.
Please keep your Bibles open on page 1014, and I'm just going to pray. Father, I pray that you would speak this morning by the power of your Spirit. Open our ears to hear what you might be saying to us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, okay, put your hands up if you've ever played a game of hide and seek. Universal game across the nations that is played. Keep your hands up if you've played hide and seek in the dark. Oh, a few, but look at this. Okay, great. I was quite surprised that there's that many people who have played hide and seek in the dark. You might know it as sardines or catching in the night. Great game. So basically, for those of you that don't know what hide and seek in the dark is, it's hide and seek with no lights on. So hide and seek is so much easier when the lights are on than when it's dark. But hide and seek in the dark is the best game. So if you haven't done it, go and find yourself a dark room. Go and hide. If someone's come and find you, I tell you, it's going to be the best 10 minutes of your life. We have started a new series. I'm just trying to segue my way into actually my point. Oh, can I have the clicker, Pete, please? I thank you. We have started a new series looking at Jesus' words that he says about himself and asking us, when it relates to us, have we made our God too small? Have we shrunk him down to a small type God rather than the big God that he is? So we're looking at John 8 this morning, and so Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacle, which was a 7-day feast that took place where Jews would camp in tents. It's probably not a feast for you if you don't like camping. And they would remember the journey that the Israelites took from slavery in Egypt through the wilderness, where they would have to pitch their tents out into the promised land, into their new home. And as part of that, there was a ceremony that involved lighting up four massive, like 75 feet high, apparently, lamps that would illuminate much of the city of Jerusalem. And it was to remember the pillar of fire that went in front of the Israelites as they went on their journey from Egypt into the promised land, lighting up their way in the darkness. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 13. And it's in that context that Jesus says all this. And so he's standing up in the middle of this festival and he starts teaching. It says that in verse 20. And Jesus then contrasts himself with these massive lamps that are illuminating the city. And he says this, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Now, throughout scripture, we see that light signified God's presence, the presence of God. And often light came in the form of fire. So God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. The Israelites were taken out of slavery with fire in front of them. Fire showed the presence of God outside the temple, and it showed God's presence within the temple, outside the tabernacle and inside the temple. Elijah, a prophet from God, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is aligning himself with the great eye. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in the countryside. I should imagine that you have. If you've played hide and seek in the dark, I think you are creative and exciting people. And so I can imagine, if you've been in the countryside, and you've been in the countryside at night time, it is a terrifying place. As someone from the city, I tell you what, don't get as scared as I do than being in the countryside at night time, walking along without the city lights. See, where there's no light, there's darkness. We know that. That's a fact, right? There's no, turn the lights off, block out your windows, you're in complete darkness. The Bible tells us that our natural state without the light of Jesus is that we're in spiritual darkness. Verse 12 says, if we don't follow him, we walk in darkness. We're in darkness. And John 3:19 says, not only are we in darkness, but actually our natural state is we love darkness. And when in complete darkness, it's impossible to lead yourself out of it, out of the darkness, unless there's a light. If you're in a pitch black room, you're trying to find your way out, you might as well have your eyes shut. And for the Israelites, they couldn't find their way out of Egypt without the light of God providing for them throughout the darkness. Isaiah said, "One is coming who will bring light to those who live in darkness." They needed light, and we need light too. And so here's Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world, the light of rescue, a one-man rescue operation, entering into our world as a massive light, shining it on anyone who's lost, stuck in darkness, offering a way out to freedom and to life." And without that light of rescue, verse 24 says, we will die in spiritual darkness. But check it out, verse 12, there's a promise. "Whoever follows me," Jesus says, "will never walk in darkness." And the Greek for that never is never, no, never. You will never be driven or pushed about by darkness. See, darkness doesn't have to be our reality. Now we've got the light of the world in it and shining in it. And when the light shines in the darkness, it gives sight to our blind souls. And it says in John chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, it exposes our evil, it exposes the true state of who we are. Which, that's hard. I don't know if you've ever been called out by one of your friends for something that you've done, and they're like, "You know what you did? That wasn't great." And you're kind of like, oh, you feel the kind of guilt and you feel the shame of it. God exposes the evil in our hearts, but it's necessary to be rescued. And look, it's easy to see, isn't it? If you think about the Israelites, it's easy to see why they might have needed the light and the fire to guide them through the wilderness when it's nighttime. But what about me? What about you? Do I need to be rescued, really? See, the reality is we are all trusting in someone or something to rescue us and give us meaning and give us life. Now the question is for you this morning, who or what is that? For some people it's money or popularity or sex or power or a lovely house. The list goes on. But none of that, friends, is going to rescue you from your spiritual darkness. Only Jesus, the light of the world, the Bible says, can rescue us from that. And when he rescues us from this world, he's from and is the same God who spoke into the darkness of creation and said, "Let there be light," and there was. Now that would have been explosive words for the Pharisees. Like, who are you to be saying that? And they say to him, verse 13, back up your claims. You can't be speaking like that, because what he's saying is serious, serious words. And then Jesus goes on to have a dialogue with them. And he says, my testimony carries weight because I am the great I am. I am God himself here standing before you. That weren't enough for the Pharisees. And so Jesus goes on and says, if you really want me to prove it, verse 18, God the Father will back me up. God the creator of the heavens and the earth, because that is who I am, that is where I come from, and that is where I'm going to go, and that is the reason that I can stand here and say, I am the light of the world. Jesus is claiming to be humanity's divine and ultimate light, the light of the world. Not a light that we've snuffed out at the end of a festival when everyone goes home. The light of the world. And look, despite the to and fro with the Pharisees, the light of the world was sat in front of them and they didn't get it. Verse 15. But the thing is, do we, friends, do we get it? When we read that Jesus is the light of the world, whether you are a follower of Jesus or you're not, whether you're interested or you're here for another reason this morning, how do we try and deal with our sin and our pain and our stress and our struggles? Do we go to the light of the fridge? because chocolate makes everything a little bit better.
Amen.
You know, do we go to the light of our phones to be distracted or to desperately try and feel the longing for connection? Or do we go to the light of the shops, I just need another new outfit and then maybe that'll make me feel a little bit better about myself? Or do we go to the light of the computer because we overwork, because we think that'll give us meaning and purpose? Or we just put on a bit of pornography because that will just satisfy the desire just for that moment? Or do we go to the light of the TV and sit in front of ours because actually that's much better than real life? Or do we go to the light of the ATM to look at our bank balance because actually if I've got money, I'm gonna be all right? Friends, they're momentary lights. They're artificial lights. They're fake lights that will not fulfill the longings that we have. They're fake lights and artificial lights that won't fulfill the desires of our hearts. They're lights that aren't going to rescue us from our darkness. They're lights that aren't going to give us hope and give us meaning. And here is Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I'm not a counterfeit light. I'm not an artificial light. I am the light. Everything else isn't fit for purpose, as nice as those things may be. Those lights look like they're going to rescue us, but they're not. And guess what? They're just going to keep us bumping around in darkness. The Bible says only Jesus, the light of the world, can rescue us from our darkness. And look, if there was any doubt that Jesus was the light of the world, the Pharisees had it. They had it in abundance. Look what Jesus says, verse 28. He says, watch. Watch what's going to happen, you religious and learned people. Watch what's going to happen. You're going to help me finish being the ultimate light of the world without even realizing it. Because the light of the world was going to be put on the cross. That's what Jesus means when he says, you're going to lift me up. And the sky was going to go dark. Jesus says, verse 28, when that happens, he says to the Pharisees, the people who knew so much, he says, when that happened, you're a greater witness than that. The light of the world has come to rescue us from the dominion of darkness and to keep us living in the light. And look, Jesus' offer is for whoever. He says, whoever follows me. And when the Bible says whoever, it means whoever. So whether people are interested in following or not interested in following, curious, or actually they're ready to sign their lives away, he says, whoever follows me, follows me. It's not whoever hears about me or learns about the light or admires the light or comes to look at the light or thinks the light might have something in it. He says, whoever will follow. They kept getting it wrong because they had to live differently to the people round about them, and that was hard for them, even though they had the light of God's presence in front of them. But Jesus says, following me is the way to freedom. Later on in John, verse 31 to 32, Jesus says this. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Follow, I encourage you this morning, follow. Follow him, follow the light. Don't make him small by saying with your words, I'm going to follow him, and living a completely different life. What ways this morning am I not following and not trusting the light? What is the teaching of Jesus that I just think, God, this is just too hard to follow? I don't need to follow the light of the world. Then let me tell you, we have walked through bleak times, but we have never, ever walked in darkness. Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and when you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. Things might be bleak, but you're not going to walk in darkness. And so let me ask you this morning, Jesus says, he says this about himself. I'm not saying it about him, he says it about himself. He says, I am the light of the world, the very presence of God. So let me ask you this morning, what are you going to do with that? What do you make of that? Him saying that, what does that mean for you this morning? Jesus saying, I am the light of rescue. Friends, have you let him rescue you from your darkness? And if you're following the light, how's it really going? Are there times when you're just veering back into the darkness, even though that's not where you belong? Are you living like Jesus is the light of the world, the very source of your life, the light of life? Or are you turning on artificial lights time and time again? I encourage you this morning, turn off those artificial lights and let the light of the world lead you. Let him lead you. He just says, come and follow. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. God, this morning, for those of us who know about you and have heard that you say that you're the light of the world, like, help us to make sense of that. What are we going to do with that this morning? And God, like, if we need to see something about you that we've not seen before, I pray, Spirit of the living God, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts this morning to see you for who you are. And for those of us, God, who are following the light of the world, but are just finding it difficult, I just pray, Spirit of the living God, that you just help us to follow as best we can, trusting you, holding on to your words. And for those of us, God, who constantly and continually get distracted by the artificial light of this world that doesn't satisfy and only provides momentary light, God, show us, like, show us that stuff that isn't for us. It doesn't lead to life. And help us to lay that before you. And actually, Jesus, for you to be the priority, the first thing that we follow, the greatest light that we follow. And God, when we don't do that and we've made you too small, like, just have mercy, God, I pray. Yeah, have mercy and thank you for the forgiveness that there is for us. Because the light could be held down in darkness and got up from the dead and is rising and is shining. Amen.